Okay. We come to the second outline. Remember, this is a training. So the emphasis is not so much to inspire as much as it is to instruct. And I hope you will all take it in that kind of a way. This is a very important message, very central, I would say, essentially speaking, regarding the matter of eldership. I think it is still good always to read the Bible, and though time is short, let us still read these very important verses, Matthew 20, 25 through 28. And you find them, please, quickly. Okay. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever wants to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Marvelous, marvelous verse 28. The Lord's own testimony. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Very, very famous section on the mind of Christ. Okay. 5 through 8, Philippians 2. Go. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross." Okay, that's good. All right. Do you have Galatians 5:13? And after that, those of you who have Exodus 21, 1 through 6, please be ready to read that. So Galatians 5:13. "For you were called for freedom, brothers. Only do not turn this freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Very good. Exodus 21, 1 through 6. Those who have it, either on your device or on the big Bible. I don't have it, plus, so you better read it for us. Brother Lee, as you will read in the ministry excerpts when you get into them, Brother Lee said this regarding this, a message he gave during the life studies on chapter 21, you know, of this particular passage. He said, "Only those who are willing to be slaves can remain permanently in the church life. No matter how I may be treated by the saints, I have no choice but to remain in the church life. The church is the home of my Father and all his children. I am simply one of his slaves, loving him, loving the church, and loving his children. After giving so many messages on life, the Spirit, Christ, and the church, I am glad to give this message on slavery. This word is for us all. This is 1979 or whatever, whenever he was in covering the life study of Exodus. Okay, let's come to the outline. The spirit of a slave really is the spirit of a true elder. Let's read one. The elders are not higher than the brothers and sisters in the church, rather according to the Lord's teaching.
The elders are lower because they are slaves.
So, again, this Matthew 20 is another one of those, I call it frameable quotes, especially for us brothers who are taking some lead and bearing some responsibility. It's good to frame this word of the Lord, reminding us and targeting, of course, that natural fallen ambition to be above others, to lord over others, to exercise control over others rather spontaneously, to target that. So the Gentiles do that. They lord over others and with so-called kind of authority. But he said, it should not be so among you. You're different. The church is a different breed. It's a different kind. It's a different species. We have nothing to do with the way Gentiles operate or how the world operates. We should never use that as our standard or copy them. I know that there's some young brothers, they say, let's find out what's the best way to administrate the church. Let's go buy some books on leadership, on organization, on, you know, management, and so on and so forth. Brothers, it should not be so among us. Just remember that. We're in a different realm. The church is a different thing, a different kind of entity. So whoever wants to be great, and apparently the Lord didn't condemn that, but whoever wants to become great, truly great among you, shall be your servant. That's the way to be great, and that is to be a servant of others. And whoever will want to be first among you, you have to be the slave. That's the divine order. This is how things are done in the divine and mystical realm. And then he gave his own famous testimony. As the Son of Man, he himself did not come to be served, but to serve. That's a testimony. That's an example. That's not a teaching right here. He just gave the teaching. Now he gave this example, me, himself as the example, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So here you see, to serve and to lay down his life, again, is synonymous. The true service is one of sacrifice. There are many levels of service. You know, the waitress at IHOP, you know, whatever, serves me. But I don't think she's ready to lay down her life for me at all. I'm a stranger. I'm just some client. And she serves me because IHOP needs to make money. In other words, there is a purpose behind that service. There's an ulterior motive behind that particular service. It's a good service, and I will tip her, of course. But there's a motive. Brothers, we should never serve with a motive. No motive. No hidden intention. No expectation of return or reward of any sort. Any thought like that is impure. We serve because we love. We serve because we care. We serve because that's how the Lord served. And we like to be one with Him. So serving is never about taking, receiving. It's always about giving and sacrificing. Well, this is the Lord's testimony. All right, let's come to the outline here. The elders actually are lower because they are first, because they are greater. By definition, therefore, they are lower according to the Lord's word. They are slaves. The spirit of a slave is the title of this outline. The spirit of a slave. This is not even the spirit of a steward or a servant. You know, the Chinese, they have this word among us, the spirit of a steward. 当家管家的灵. That's a Chinese, it's among us in the recovery. You need the spirit of a steward to serve the church. But this is not even a steward, because a steward has a certain freedom. He's a hired person, typically. He's paid. He's a hireling. A slave is not hired. A slave has zero right, has no ownership, has no freedom whatsoever. It's all in the master's hand. That is slavery. So this is more than the spirit of a steward. Or a servant, but the spirit of a slave. Brothers, I'm very burdened about this. How much spirit of the slave is there amongst our brothers? You see, that even should dictate the way we speak to the saints when we think about this. The way we give announcements, the way we conduct ourselves before the brothers and sisters. If you have that spirit, if you have that spirit, that you are lower, you are the serving one. They're the boss, so to speak, not you. A lot of implications, a lot of consequences when you really embrace this matter of this kind of a spirit. Okay, two, let's read. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, Christ is presented to us as our pattern, as a model of a proper human life. So here in this famous section in Philippians 2, we like to read it today with the view of, you know, this kind of a spirit which we should have. So there Christ is presented to us as a model of the proper human life. To have this kind of a mind, to live this kind of life among mankind and especially among the saints in the church. This pattern is not of one who occupies a high position, but of one who is a slave. You know, if you have this realization It affects even the tone of your voice when you say something. You would not go like this. Saints, now you do this. You know what I mean? I'm exaggerating. But even your body language would be affected, I'd say. Do you understand? You know, does a slave stand before the master like this? I think he'll be, you know. Am I right? The slaves stand over here, just ready to serve at the snap of a finger, at the batting of an eye, the slave is right there, probably kneeling down or whatever in the old days to do the beck and call of the master. You see, this spirit, we're talking about this spirit, this attitude is so important. And that fully saturated the mind of the Lord. Do you know this? And here let me say, because it talks about let this mind be in you, the mind is very important. We're talking about the spirit of the slave. But the kind of spirit we have is dictated by the concept, the thinking, the mind. Christ, it was in his mind. It was in his mind to not consider himself not consider his equality with God something to be grasped. It was in his mind. He thought that way. And it was in his mind to empty himself. It was in his mind to take the form of a slave and to become a likeness of a man and dying the death of the cross. It was in his mind. Brothers, we need to adopt such a mind. Our mind needs to be renewed from one of the other way of lording, of ruling, of controlling, of bossing, and what have you. We need to change our mind to have the mind of Christ. If we want the living of Christ, we better have the mind of his. Because our behavior is dictated by the way we think. By the way, Philippians is a book on the mind. This book on the experience of Christ is a book that heavily emphasizes the mind. From chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4. Think the same thing. Be of the same mind, right? Including the soul, striving with one soul, right? Let this mind be in you. Wherever you may be, let this mind be in you. Let us have this mind, the lowliness of mind. The mind is critically important. Because that's the way we think, and that's the way how we will be. Be even though Christ was equal with God and had the highest rank in the universe, he became a person on the lowest level of society. We're not here to debate, you know, the system of slavery. We're not in that realm, right? I know this is an evil social system. We're not for that. No, we're not in that realm. So please don't bring in those kind of arguments. It existed. And even Christ himself and the apostles borrow liberally from that to exhort the saints in their teaching and how we should be. And for sure, I will tell you, slavery was there in the Old Testament. And here is an important point you will read and find out. This marvelous, marvelous speaking by Brother Lee. When he got to this passage in Exodus 21, right? That is right, before. This is before the revelation on the tabernacle and the priesthood and so many things. In fact, it was the first ordinance. The first thing. First ordinance Moses passed on to the children of Israel was on slavery. That ought to tell us something. And later on, Brother Lee will tell us. He said the fulfillment of the whole law, the keeping of all the ordinances, depends whether you have the spirit and the reality of a slave. And this slavery, as we will see, is entirely not in the realm of even ownership, because it was after so many years, this slave had every right to be free, to be liberated. But it was a case of this slave out of love. Not out of any other reason, but out of love. Chose to stay. Chose to remain in an unfreed state. It is entirely his own volition, his own choosing. He had no one to blame but himself to serve as a slave for the rest of his life. The motive? Love. Now, we would never put love and slavery together, humanly speaking. I would never do that. It's like these are two different planets. Am I right? Two different planets. Yet it is put together so beautifully in Exodus and in the Lord's life. When we talk about the spirit of slavery, brothers, it's a willing slave. It's a slave by choice. No one is making you a slave. No one. We're all free. It is love that motivates us to serve as a slave. All right. Even though Christ was equal with God and had the highest rank in the universe, he became a person on the, okay, I read that, lowest level of society. See, the very one who was equal with God not only became a man, but became a slave. In this he emptied himself and humbled himself. Of course, this great, great scriptural passage, you know, needs a lot of speaking, but just remember this. Emptied and humbled. A mind to empty and a mind to humble. You say, I don't want to empty, or I can't humble. I would say, think this way. Think this way. Think to empty yourself. Think to humble yourself. Oh, you say, well, this is then my natural strength to work out something. Well, I would not say that. It depends. If you think this way with the Spirit, you think this way, one with the Lord, that is not just some kind of artificial human effort to be a better, nicer person. No. It's time, brothers, we should not excuse ourselves in these things. I can't do it. I'm not this kind. I'm not born this way. My disposition is not this way. That's a cop-out. How about the Lord? He certainly could say this. He was equal with God. I mean, who is equal with God would go to the cross? This irrational. That doesn't make sense. Yet he did it. Because he adopted that mindset. He thought that way. To do the will of God. Brothers, we need to acquire this kind of thinking. For the sake of the Lord and for love's sake. Okay. All right. D. So next time, don't say, I cannot humble myself. That's a cop-out. Next time you should say, I cannot. That's true. but I will take the Lord and set my mind to humble myself. That's called cooperation. All right. The very one who was equal... Okay, I read that. D. Paul says that Christ became obedient and even unto death, and that the death of a cross. Out of obedience to God, Christ died in a shameful manner. He died the death of a criminal, of a malefactor, executed by crucifixion according to the way of the Romans. 2. Only a slave would be willing to die in this way. I would say even a slave would not be willing to die this way. It's a terrible way to die. It's an absolutely most painful way to die. Who would be willing to do that? Well, Christ was. Unbelievable. Now, don't think that Christ has no awareness of pain, of suffering. Even as a man at the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed for this cup to be removed, if possible. But nevertheless, not mine will, but your Father be done. So, here he was, absolutely realizing what he was getting himself into. But he did it. Not by compulsion, not by being forced or pressured by the Father, but willingly. My goodness, have you ever appreciated the willfulness of the Lord in doing what he did? He just wanted to do it. I came here to do your will, O God. That will of this God-man. But that will must be what? Must be joined to that mind. That mind of his. We say, oh Lord, we want to be one with you, Lord. What does that mean? To be one with the Lord is to be one is with his thinking, with his mindset. To be one with his will. Those who would follow this pattern need to empty themselves and humble themselves to be slaves. Now, in the church life, to be a leading brother or responsible one, this spirit of a slave is necessary. And we just need to follow this model, this pattern. And isn't this something that pattern, that model of the Lord, the first God-man, was successfully replicated in the apostles? The apostle Paul? You know, they wrote in the beginning of all the apostles, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Then an apostle. The first status is not an apostle, but a slave. And they reminded themselves and they reminded the saints of that. A slave of Christ Jesus. He didn't just say it. He meant it. He thought that way. I am your slave. Slave to God, also slave to you, to serve you. Leading brothers should be this way. Okay, 3. Let's read. To be a slave is to have the spirit of... So I've been using this word quite liberally this morning. The spirit of sacrifice is the spirit of a slave. A slave does not stand on his own rights. No rights to speak of. B, he does not care for his own interests. There's no time for his own interests. C, a slave must always be concerned for others. There's no room in him for self-concern, for self-care, but always concern for the needs of others. D, a slave is always willing to serve others and to sacrifice himself for others. This principle applies to our living as Christians today. Galatians 5:13 says that we were called to freedom. It's true. But should serve one another as slaves. That word serve in Galatians is to serve as a bond slave through love. I love this verse. I love this verse. It's only through love that we would enslave ourselves willingly to give up, you may say, our freedom rights. You have that right. You do. But you let it go. You even give that up in a sense to enslave yourself to the church, to the Lord first, of course, and to the church and to the saints through love. Only love, brothers and sisters, can motivate us, can imbue us with such a spirit. Really, I'm quite clear. No other way. No other way. But the constraining love of Christ. Okay, number four. Let's read. Love is the motive and prerequisite of being a slave. It doesn't make sense, does it? You go to any slavery countries, there's no such thing of a slave wanting to be one out of the motive of love. There it is, Exodus 21. There it is. Before all the other ordinances, first thing, the slave. In other words, brothers, if we have the spirit of the slave, everything will work. Everything will work, even in God's economy. In the church life. Without love, I would almost say nothing works. Nothing works without love. Do you love the church? Do you love the saints? Do you shed tears for them? Do you care for their souls? Or are you just doing your job as an elder? Big difference. Big difference. Even you can do certain things happily for the saints. It's still not a spirit of slavery. Even that is possible. It's your generosity, your magnanimity, your public service spirit kicking in, you know? But not slave. I'm here talking about slavery. You know, the slave at the end of the day disappears. No claim for credit or recognition of any sort. They do their work and they disappear. A, continuing as a slave is not continuing. This is not starting out. This story in Exodus is about staying as a slave. Is not a legal requirement. It is a matter motivated by voluntary love. Paul, being constrained by the love of Christ, thus judged. See the mind coming in? See the will coming in? He thus judged that he would no longer live to himself, but unto him who died and was raised. So it's a mindset out of a motivating, deep love. Okay, one, according to Exodus 21:2, a Hebrew slave was to be set free after serving his master 6 years. If he obtained a wife and children during his years as a slave, he was to leave them as the property of his master and go out by himself. You know, I don't like these four words. go out by himself. Sounds like Judas. He went out and hung himself by himself. I don't like this. And this slave could have left his master and wife and children because the master owned them as his property. And he could have just left free, really free. However, the slave might plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. This is a thought-out statement. This is not the emotion of a moment. You know, we can all get emotional at the moment and regret. This is about the rest of his life. It's not about another 7 years. It's about the rest of his life. He better have thought through this. And he did. So he said plainly, almost like without emotion. Plainly. I love them. I will not go out free. That's it. My choice is made. Until I die. Three, because the slave loved this master, his wife, and his children, he did not want to go out free. Instead, he would serve his master forever. Love is the basis of continual service. Remember this. I love this line. Love is the basis of continual service. Remember the story about, what's his name? Darby, in his old age, in a little inn in Europe, you know, saying, Lord, I still love you. Why is this man at his 80s still running around, serving? You know, this prince of exposition, you know that. That's Darby. Translated the Bible. A great, great, great man, Christian man, in the history of the church, capital C. Lord, I still love you. Love is the ultimate motivation for continual service. After you serve a while, some would say, I want to give up. I'm tired. There are too many offenses. I can't go on. Well, only love will be the real chain and cords to bind you to this slavery. Only love. Okay. B, love requires sacrifice, and without sacrifice, there can be no love. True love is about sacrifice. It's not about taking. It's about giving. It's not about rewarding the self. It is about laying down your life for the other. It's about time, young brothers, that you graduate from merely an emotional love for the Lord. And may I say, and understand me correctly, not even just in the so-called romantic love. There's a place for that, don't take me wrong. But into a slavery love. Think about that. It's not romance here. There's a much deeper reservoir of love that I cannot explain where it comes from that caused him to continue his slavery service. The Lord Jesus, well, I know where it comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus. There's only one source for this kind of love. It's the Lord. So the Lord Jesus loved us by using, by being a sacrifice for us. 2, Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Of course, later on in that same chapter, he says Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So 5:2, it is Christ loving the individual sinners. And 5:23 is Christ loving the corporate bride, the church. In each, whichever way he loved, he gave. He gave. Christ gave himself for us, dying a malefactor's death on the cross. This proves that love demands sacrifice. Brothers, in the church life, serving the saints as leading ones, every day when you get up, you must think, another day of sacrifice. It's a good way to think. Another way of sacrifice, but not sacrifice without love. It is because of love. And that's why we need more than anyone else to know the love of Christ, to touch the fresh love of the Lord, so that we can love in that same way. Amen. All right. The Lord Jesus, who is the real fulfillment of that type, it is really not us, it is the Lord. The Christian Bible students all agree with that. The Lord Jesus loves God, the church, and all his people, the saints. You can read those verses. God is his master, the church is his wife, and all his people are his children. Don't you like that? He loved God, his father, he loved the church, his wife, and he loved his people, his children. That caused Christ, as the slave, to continue to serve to the end. 2, motivated by such a love, he is willing to be a slave. D, only those who are willing to be slaves can remain permanently in the church life. I read that. Now, no matter how I may be treated by the saints, I have no choice but to remain in the church life. You get mistreated, and sometimes we do. But what choice do we have? We jump ship. We leave the recovery. We quit our service. We have no choice. But we made ourselves of no choice. The Lord never forced that upon us. I decide to live a life with no choice. I made that decision. And I would not complain about that. The church is the home of my Father and all of his children. I'm simply one of his slaves, loving him, loving the church, and loving his children. Brothers, learn to love the saints. I say learn to love the saints. You find out how much you don't love them. You use them, but you don't love them. You want to keep them in shape, but you don't love them. You want them to do this or that, but you don't love them. You expect them to perform, to be good saints, to do this, do that for the church, but you don't love them. Possible. What's the motivation? I want to tug on that heartstrings of yours this morning, talking about being an elder. It has to start there. The motive must be love. It must. Only love endures. Only love never fails. Here's a saint. After so much caring, you just want to give up hope. But love would not allow you to give up. Right? You've done what you could, but love causes you to do even more. Okay, let's read 5. Our position as slaves of Christ should be at the doorpost with an ear open to listen to the master. All right? According to Exodus 21, a slave who loved his master and wanted to remain in his service was brought to the doorpost, and his ear was bored through with an awl. That indicates that a slave's ear was to be open to hear the voice of the master. Let me finish reading. As a slave of God, the Lord Jesus was given the tongue, not of a teacher, but of a learned one, the tongue of the instructed. Isaiah 50 is fulfilled in the person of the Lord. That is firstly not about you and I. That's about the servant of God, of Jehovah, Jesus himself. One, he also said that God opened his ears that he might hear as a learned one and listen to God's word. Two, this reveals that if we are not learned ones, we cannot speak for God. Before we can speak for him, we must first be taught by him. So another point about the spirit of the slave here is not just love now. It's about obedience. Another big sign, trait, characteristic of a slave is strict obedience. But to be an obedient one, you have to listen first. You have to hear the command, to hear the order first. You have to know the voice of your master first. Then you know how to obey. Many of us serve really without the spirit of a slave on our own. We dictate things. We call the shots. We never care to come to the master and say, Master, what's on your mind? Lord, what are you thinking? Lord, what do you want to do? Our ears are not bore. So our tongue is neither instructed, and we cannot speak for God. So this is the other part of being a slave. And that is hearing and obeying. Love and obedience, the two main things related to a slave. Number 6, we better finish. Let's read. Every elder must be a slave. The elders in the churches need to realize that if they are not willing to be slaves, they cannot be proper elders. The matter of leading ones being slaves corresponds to the Lord's word in Matthew 20, 25 through 27. We read that before. Okay, and then verse 28. We read that already. Now B, in the church life there is no rank. We're all brothers and we all must serve as slaves. Even the saints should be slaves. Do not think that to be an elder is to occupy a high position. When a brother is made an elder, he should say, I've been drafted into the eldership, and I have no choice. I don't want to be an elder, but there's nothing I can do about it. The Lord has drafted me and made me an elder. That's very good. Very good. 3, the sisters whose husbands are elders should say, when my husband became an elder, he became a slave. But I'm happy that the Lord has drafted him in such a heavenly way. 4, when our concept has been thoroughly revolutionized, the shame of ambition for position will be slain. Now, I hope that the main burden here is not a negative one, and that is, how can we flee ambition? How can we be saved from pride? I hope the motivation, the driver here, is a positive one this morning, and that is love. And that is love. Amen?
Amen?
A slave's love to the Lord, to the church, and to the saints. Okay, I stop here. I think we can still pray for a minute with someone next to you, and we can have, a 20-minute break? I think so. Amen.